A bipartisan bill is expected to be released this month that would change the way most public schools in Wisconsin teach reading. It's Friday, May 12th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crowe. Coming up, Sean Johnson reports on the ongoing legislative battle over how local governments are funded. And we've got a special Mother's Day edition of Wisconsin Life. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
A bipartisan bill is expected to be released this month that would change the way most public schools in Wisconsin teach reading. Corrine Hess has more.
The plan would move schools away from teaching reading through pictures, word cues, and memorization. Children will be taught using a phonics-based approach that focuses on learning by sounding out letters and phrases. Right now, only about 20% of Wisconsin school districts use this approach. Republican Joel Kitchens chairs the Assembly Committee on Education. He says the bill would be tied to $15 million in the state budget to pay for curriculum and coaching for teachers.
That is a fine line here to get it through my caucus and satisfy them, but also not turn them off, because we know that if we don't have buy-in from the education community, it's not going to work.
DPI officials are supportive of the bill, but say teachers will need support and coaching. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Flags will fly at half staff today in Wisconsin to honor a St. Croix County Sheriff's deputy who was killed during a call last weekend. St. Croix County Sheriff's Deputy Katie Lysing was shot and killed Saturday while responding to a suspected drunken driver in a ditch. She was 29 years old and leaves behind a wife and 3-month-old son. Lysing worked as a police officer for 3 years in St. Croix County and South Dakota. Governor Tony Evers ordered the United States and state flags to be flown at half staff to honor Lysing. Her funeral will be held today at the Hudson High School near the Minnesota border. Republican lawmakers say a massive overhaul of the way the state funds local governments remains a work in progress. As Sean Johnson reports, the state assembly could vote on the plan next week.
Republicans have yet to announce changes to the local government funding bill they introduced to the public last week. It would dedicate 20% of the state's sales tax to local governments and require them to use new money on expenses like police and firefighters. The version of the plan that passed an assembly committee Thursday was identical to the bill Governor Tony Evers threatened to veto last week. Committee Chair Todd Novak of Dodgeville said he'd hoped to pass some changes to the plan.
However, they're still knee-deep in negotiations.
While overall funding in the bill is similar to what Evers proposed, the Republican plan attaches a variety of new strings to the money. For example, local communities could have to maintain police staffing levels or arrest numbers to keep their state funding. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Afghan refugees living in Wisconsin and across the United States will now have more time to get a permanent immigration status. The United States Department of Homeland Security recently announced Afghans in the country under humanitarian parole will have the opportunity to reapply for the 2-year status. It's uncommon to have humanitarian parole, but federal officials use the program to permit Afghans into the country more quickly during the 2021 evacuation. Grant Sovereign is an immigration attorney in Madison. He says the extension is a huge relief.
The real concern was that they were going to run out of their authorization to work in the U.S., which would be, you know, terrible for the families and terrible for the employers who employ them.
Sovereign says most Afghans in the state have been waiting months for their asylum applications to be considered by immigration officials. He says it's unclear when the backlog of cases will be resolved. Coal plants and natural gas facilities would have to essentially eliminate heat-trapping greenhouse gas emissions by 2040. Daniel Kading reports that that's under a new carbon pollution standard proposed by the EPA on Thursday.
Under the proposal, plants can either choose to cut most of their emissions through costly carbon capture technology or ramp up the use of green hydrogen. Kieran Gallagher with Clean Wisconsin says the power sector is the largest source of greenhouse gases in the state.
Over 75% of our electricity is generated by fossil fuels. There's just a significant amount of coal being burnt in Wisconsin. So these regulations are going to have a huge impact here.
Federal data shows coal accounted for 42% of Wisconsin's power generation in 2021. Some facilities that are retiring soon may not have to install costly pollution controls while others would. Utilities say they aim to cut carbon emissions while maintaining affordability and reliability. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got a piece from Wisconsin Life just in time for Mother's Day. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story for Mother's Day.
Many of us are grateful for everything our mothers taught us. For Jana Rose Schleiss, she's thankful that her mother taught her how to be beautiful.
I learned how to be a woman from my mom. What I mean is, I learned how to express my femininity from her. This isn't unique to me. For a lot of people, our mother is our first beauty standard. We grow up thinking she's the prettiest woman in the world. For girls, at some point in our lives, we gotta decide what kind of woman we wanna be and how we present that to the world. Through a million minuscule choices, we express ourselves and our femininity. The older I get, the more I realize I've been modeling myself off mom in subtle and not so subtle ways. My mother was a teacher. She also had 5 kids and a dairy farm to help run. When we were younger, she didn't have time for frivolous beauty trends or anything that wasn't practical. My 3 sisters and I, however, wanted everything new and impractical the early aughts could offer. Blue eyeshadow, the infamous Rachel haircut, and oh my gosh, flip-flops. When my mother goes out, her routine is this. Makeup, mascara, a bit of eyeliner, lipstick, hair. A few curls applied to her cropped locks, then brush back. Accessories. She keeps her most worn jewelry in a shot glass in the kitchen cupboard. I don't know how this became the norm. It drives my father, who bought much of it, crazy. She dumps the glass out, chooses a pair of small hooped earrings, and puts the many gold rings she wears on her hands. She's ready. I'm 30 now, and I've had plenty of time to experiment with my femininity. For style, there was the mismatched floral print phase, the crop tops and platforms phase, and this was all just during college. My hair journey has been similarly chaotic. For the few years I was a wannabe hippie, I didn't cut or even brush my hair. I could tell it drove my mother nuts, but she had a light, perhaps sometimes passive-aggressive touch. I'd receive gift cards for haircuts and the quick aside of, run a comb through your hair and then we'll go. But overall, she knew I needed to work through this stuff on my own. I've been dyeing my naturally brunette hair red for 10 years. This vibrant hair has become my brand, if you will. A friend recently asked why I chose this color. I told the story of how it initially happened. I got a horrid haircut before studying abroad. I bought a box of dye and tried to take control of the situation. To my 20-year-old self, this made sense. But looking back, it's obvious why red is the ideal beauty standard to me. For as long as I can remember, my mom's hair has been dyed shades of auburn. By the way she carries herself, my mother has taught me to never be ashamed of my body. She's always seemed so comfortable in hers. Something I'm very thankful for in a world that sends women messages like, you're too fat, you're too tall, you're too loud, you're too assertive, you're too independent, and the choices you've made are wrong. When I was younger, my mom let me be whatever I needed to be. All through puberty and the many confusing chapters after, I could always come to mom. She'd take me and my questions about my body and beauty seriously. I have nieces now, and I know they're watching, taking in the variety of women around them. They giggle at my armpit fuzz, want to touch my nose ring. They'll grow into their femininity one day too, play around with it and try different things. I'm so grateful they have many strong and beautiful women in their lives to take cues from. When I go out, my routine is this: makeup, mascara, brows, lipstick, hair, a few curls, brushed back, accessories. From a jewelry box, I choose a variety of cheap gold rings and a pair of earrings. I know I'm ready. I know I'm beautiful because of Mom.
Jana Rose Schleiss brought us that story on her beautiful mother. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. As always, you can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. And of course, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.